I've been recently hearing about some reports that it is no longer possible to create a pseudonymous Google account without providing your real phone number to Google. And I went out and tested this theory, and I've seen that it's probably not the case. So what all the fuss is about is the ability to create a Google account so that you can download apps from the Google Play Store on, for example, GrapheneOS, and not having to tie that information to your real-life identity. With my research, I've come up with a method that is really solid, and I've tested it multiple times. I've been able to create several accounts, and all for the purpose of being able to download apps without giving Google a single account they could use to associate all the different apps that I'm using for all the different profiles and identities that I compartmentalize online. The reason for this method is manifold, and that's one of them. Simply, Google Play Store is the most secure way of installing apps. It is not the most private, but you do need to have that application security if you want to install especially sensitive apps that you're going to be logging into and providing your sensitive or personal information to. And F-Droid has been recommended in the past. There are many F-Droid alternatives, many services, developers are providing F-Droid apps. And F-Droid has been amazing. It has been providing free software alternatives and free software versions of applications that, would not be possible on the Play Store. But the F-Droid team has been falling behind on keeping up with Android security model. They've been using application programming interfaces that have been just way too old. They haven't been taking advantage of the seamless update client, which meant that you wouldn't be prompted to install updates unless you manually did so. And many of the applications on F-Droid were just behind several days or even weeks or months, perhaps in some cases that I've heard, years on security updates or any updates whatsoever versus their official versions on the Play Store or iOS App Store. For many of these reasons, and there have been articles written about this, security research done into F-Droid, a lot of people in the privacy community have decided to recommend against using F-Droid. The biggest advantage of using F-Droid was that you did not have to create an account, it was just a repository, and you could just download apps from it straight away. It was better than just trusting random APKs, that's, the installation file for Android applications. From the internet, because that's just, you need to find a way to verify that the app is actually coming from the developer. And the way you can verify it is with public signatures, encryption signatures, PGP, GPG, whatever. And the easiest way to do this is on Linux. If you have Linux, you type in the code in the terminal. Linux has the default ADB command line tools for that. So it's very convenient. How you do that on the phone, I don't know. It's kind of, it's weird. You don't have that out of the box. You do have that on Linux, but not on Android. It's a bit weird. And it's very essential to have that application security, like the key exchange and app signing, all of that. It's super important. You are probably used to downloading apps for your Windows machine, for instance, from all over the internet, but it's very dangerous. If you don't know if the app is truly coming from the source, you could be compromised. And this has been a major issue before the internet was encrypted with HTTPS, TLS, etc., than it is today. But still, you want to have an additional layer of security, and that is by signing the applications that developers are handing out to their users. And Play Store and app stores, app repositories are kind of doing that for you. You don't have to verify the keys yourself if you are just trusting repository. Now, but with F-Droid out of the way, what else is there? Now, there was Aurora, and Aurora allowed installing apps from the Google Play Store with an anonymous account. Now, there were some security concerns with that, but at least you were downloading them from the Play Store where the apps were always updated. And I think Aurora was taking advantage of the seamless update client. Now, talking was because Aurora no longer works. I've been using Aurora myself, but it was kind of, it was a coin flip. In many cases, it just just didn't boot up. It would just crash or just wouldn't log me into this anonymous account. And you could use Aurora with a legitimate Gmail account, like a Gmail address, Google account. But at that point, like, why use Aurora? You could just use Google Play Store. But with Google Play Store, they just have access to way too much information. On the stock Android, Google, or all Google services and the Play services are going to be embedded into the operating system with privileged permissions. And these privileged permissions are bypassing some of the app sandbox. Not really, but you know, it's within the security model, but it's invasive. It's privacy invasive. That means that Google Play services are going to have access to your device identifiers. They're going to see your phone number, and they're going to come pre-installed with a bunch of permissions that are just going to be granted by default, and that's not good. Which is why GrapheneOS came up with sandbox Google Play services, in which way Google is treated as any other third-party application, and they have to abide by the full application sandbox of the Android operating system. On top of which, GrapheneOS built its own hardening features. And now you can install Google Play services on your phone, and they would not have access to your device identifiers. They would not know who you are. They would not know your serial number or IMSI number. They would not know your phone number. And they would be restricted from accessing all of that information through the permission model that is applied to every other application on Android, every third-party application. And that was really amazing. That allowed to use your GrapheneOS device without any account. You would just log into Google Play Store and that would be it. It is quite amazing how GrapheneOS has been able to achieve this. But still, it does not alleviate all of the privacy problems that come with using a Google service. You cannot really use any Google service without an account. And that's especially the case for Google Play Store. You have to log in, and you have to be logged in order to download apps and download updates. And if you give Google your real information, such as your name or your birth date or your phone number or your IP address, now Google is going to be able to you know, obviously know who you are, but they're going to know what apps you install, so they're going to have access to your app list. There is really no other way to go about this, even on GrapheneOS. You know, every app, just like Google, is going to have access to your app list. Your app list is very unique. It is very identifiable on its own. You don't want to have that. You don't want to give any app that permission. But, you know, without that permission, most apps are not going to work. They're not going to be able to share information between each other. Like, that sharing feature is kind of significant on Android or iOS 2. Now, they're going to also have access to your app usage, because they're going to know when you open up an app, when you close it. And some of that information can be, you know, opted out of with settings that you can find in your Google account and the Play Store app. But still, what can you do to make it more private or less invasive, perhaps pseudonymous or even anonymous? Well, you can create an anonymous account. And the way I went about this is that you would have GrapheneOS, and you would create a profile on GrapheneOS, or you could do this with your main owner profile. And before you would install anything, you would download an APK file for a VPN service such as Movat or iVPN. And the reason for these two, but you can use something else if you trust that more, is because you can download these APK files from their website. You can even use Tor for this, and Movat does have an onion service for extra layer of anonymity and security. And you can verify those APK files with GPG encryption, so you can know that the files haven't been tampered with and they are coming from the original developers. And then you can transfer that to your GrapheneOS installation, to the profile where you want to use the VPN app, install the app, and then you can log into your VPN account. And with Movat and VPN, you do not need your email address or anything else. The account is generated with a random string of characters and numbers, which is awesome. You can pay, I think, for both Movat and iVPN with cash, but I think they also both accept cryptocurrency. So if you don't mind waiting a little bit, you can just send them cash. They will credit it to your account, and then you can log in and have a profile. Now, that's a bit of a slow method. You can use cryptocurrency. Moolvad does accept Monero out of the box. I think iVPN does accept that too. I've tested both, and I'm not entirely sure, but I think they both accept Monero. If not, they definitely both accept Bitcoin. And you can take advantage of this, because even then, your VPN account itself will be sort of anonymous. You would not be giving your bank the information that you are a VPN user, for instance, right? So that's a benefit there too. And the VPN provider is going to know your IP address, but provided that's a reputable VPN provider such as Moolvad or iVPN, they're hopefully deleting all of those logs as soon as possible. If they're not, at least, you know, you're delegating trust to some other company, some other jurisdiction, instead of having all of that information coming to all of the apps that you download and your government, your internet service provider, etc. So you install the VPN, you log into the VPN on your GraphQL profile, and then you open up the apps application on GraphQL. This is coming from the GraphQL development team, and you download Google Play services from there. This is going to be secure, and because if you enable the VPN connection, it is going to be full device VPN. It is going to be always on and blocking all non-VPN connections. You can also go to the settings and make sure that both of these are enabled, so that's always on VPN and block all non-VPN connections. Then Google is not going to have your IP address, and that is an important data point that you want to protect. Your IP address can lead to your location, which naturally leads to your identity. So that's taken care of. But then if you're using a VPN service, it is very easy to get flagged when creating an account. So they would ask for your phone number. And I haven't seen that. I mean, it happened to me, but then I changed the VPN server. I switched to a different country. I chose a country that looks to be quite small, not very popular, so not a lot of VPN users from that country would be there. So perhaps not a lot of VPN users from that country trying to create an account for that VPN service would be there. That way, you might not necessarily get flagged. And this is why I've been so successful at creating so many Google accounts this way. So I'm creating a Google account, and then there is the prompt to enter your phone number. The prompt is really prominent, and it just says that you need to just pick your country for the phone code, and then enter your phone number, and then go next. But there is also the skip button, and it's at the bottom left of the screen. It's not very prominent. It's kind of like hidden in the design, but it is there. And you can click it or tap it, and you can move on. You do not have to enter your phone number. You can type in your password, you create your account. Google will probably ask you for like a backup email address, whatever. You don't have to do that either. You can create an account without a phone number, without a backup email address, and it should lead you straight to the Play Store. From there, you can go to the security settings of your Google account and enable, for example, second factor authentication with a hardware security key or a security key on your phone. That's also actually pretty cool. However, if you at any point are requested to provide your phone number to verify your authenticity, there is still a way around it. And the way around it is to use a virtual phone number. A virtual phone number that is not tied to your identity. So a phone number that was also created or purchased anonymously and does not lead to any other identifiable credential, such as your email address with your name or your real IP address. There is a service, or, you know, it's not a service, it's a website. It's called kycnot.me. So kycnot.me. It's some privacy researcher made this, and they are basically listing cryptocurrency exchanges, some phone services, and some software tools that you need to purchase or use, and they are not requiring, or they're allowing you to use the service without providing a KYC questionnaire. So that's know your customer. Banks have to do this. They have to know your physical address. You have to provide your government ID and stuff like that. So these services are not requiring that information. And if you go to KYC, not me, and you go to services, you can actually look up services that are specific for phone numbers or phone services. And these are either providing voice over IP numbers, or they're providing virtual numbers or physical SIM cards, or an eSIM service that you can purchase or sign up for with a cryptocurrency or perhaps cash. I don't know. I've just used cryptocurrency. And you can get a phone number that you could use for a specific service, let's say Signal or Google. And you could use that just temporarily, just to create an account, just to get that verification code, just to, you know, appease the flagging bots that just want to know if you are a real human or if this is a bot creating an account to do some sort of harm or spam on the internet. So some of the services that I've tried are SMS for Sats, Juicy SMS. I think I tried SMS Pool and Monero SMS. I think I tried a bunch of them, and not all of them work. I also tried JMP. That's voice over IP, I think. So, and I also tried text verified. So not all of them work and not all of them are equal. Some of them are going to require an email address, but that's fine because with Tutanoda, you can create an anonymous email address even over Tor. They would probably not require an authentication or identification with a phone number. They have some anti-spam capture, recapture, whatever features there to prevent, you know, spam abuse. And, you know, you can go over that, or you can just use a VPN and create an anonymous or a pseudonymous Tutanoda account that's not tied to your identity. You can just log into the virtual SIM or phone number service, pay for whatever. It's quite cheap. You can just pay as little as like $1 or $3 to get some credit, get the phone working, and then put that phone number into Google. Google will verify and it should work. If it doesn't work, just try a different number, perhaps a different service. You're probably going to lose a bit of money on this, like less than $10, I would say, like not more. You are going to find something. Some of these services are providing just very temporary numbers, which I think is probably better than having like a long-term number. So a number that would expire within 15 minutes or 10 minutes. And I've tried this for Signal account creation, for account verification on social media, and I've been able to figure it out. I've been able to make it work. So if you really need to create an account this way, and if you are really prompted to provide a phone number, this could be a way to go about this. Is this as secure as having a physical SIM card or an eSIM on a phone that you actually physically control? Well, probably not. I would recommend that you check that yourself, how much of a security problem this could be for you. But if you're using a completely anonymous service through an Onion website on Tor, especially if it's behind a virtual machine on your laptop, such as Hunix, or if you're even using Tails, that'll be even better, then your anonymity is virtually protected. So on your phone, you have a VPN, or if you don't have a VPN service, you could also do this with Orbot, which is going to route all of your device traffic on that GrapheneOS profile through the Tor network. That's essentially going to make you completely anonymous. Google Play is not going to have access to your device identifiers. They're not going to have access to your real phone number, and they're not going to have access to your backup email address because you're not going to give it to them. You're not going to give them any real information about yourself. You're just going to give them fake name, fake date of birth. And then if you really have to give them your phone number, you use this service. It should work. And then you can perhaps use Fido security keys and the Titan M security chip on your phone to secure your account so that it's not taken over maliciously. That's it. That's what I would say this is. I think it's possible. I've heard from Michael Basil, I haven't tested this because I don't have an iPhone or any Apple product whatsoever, that this is no longer possible on the iPhone, and it hasn't been the case with the Apple ID for a long time, for many years. He's been trying to find workarounds and he hasn't been, and I kind of trust his security research abilities. But again, I haven't tested this myself, so you should probably go and test this yourself. But if you are trying to create an Apple ID, I think Apple is really going to require a real physical phone number with a real location, and there is not going to be any workaround around that. If you are going to try to create an Apple ID any way whatsoever, with or without VPN, you are going to have to give them a real phone number. And most likely, you're also going to have to give them your real IP address, which you can obfuscate a little bit if you go to a different city or you go to a different place, somewhere where there is a public Wi-Fi. And maybe Apple will allow you to create an ID with them that way, but they would still have your city or your country. If you use a VPN service to create a Google account, Google is not even know where you're from. You could select a server in like a remote Latin American country. Well, there's not that many remote countries there, but maybe somewhere in Africa or somewhere in Europe that's not very big, or perhaps Asia. And you know, you could try your luck. It's still possible to do this. So I'm not sure if people just haven't tried enough, or this was just a temporary thing where Google wanted to prevent some temporary spam account creation, so they enable like ramped up their protections and flagging mechanisms for a while. But it works for me, and I think it should work for everyone. So try that. So the mechanism is that you create a profile, you put a VPN app on it, you sign into the VPN account, then you download Play Services, then you create an account, and then you download all the other services that you want to for the profile. I think this should work. Let me know in the comments. Let me know if you tested this. Let me know if this setup is actually reasonable for you. I think it's quite convenient. You're not sacrificing anything, and you just have more accounts to secure, but that's it, you know. Make sure that if you're creating multiple Google accounts that you're using a different password and different name. So, you know, even if it's made up, just make sure they're different, because your login credentials can be linkable. And that's what can lead to your profile and essentially even to the same identity. If you have this set up, then you are going to have different Google accounts, different in different Google profiles. They're going to have access to different lists of different applications. So Google is probably going to think these are different people. That's the goal. And not you, not the same person. Again, thank you very much for your support. Have a good one and goodbye.